If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Luke 16:11. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse is a stark reminder that we'll all be judged one day and have to give an account of how we've managed the resources God has given us. Do we have a blind spot when it comes to faithfully managing money? I'll talk about it today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, there's no question that each and every one of us wants to hear those words in Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Many Christians believe that verse is about tithing, or perhaps even sacrificial giving, and that's certainly true. But not just about giving back 10% to God's kingdom. It's also about how we manage the other 90% that God has given us. Deuteronomy 8:1 tells us that God provides every penny we have. It reads, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." God created all things, and therefore He owns all things, including us. Psalm 50:10 and 11 states, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine." God is worthy of honor and glory in all things. Revelation 4:11 states, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And 1 Corinthians 10:31 teaches that there is nothing too mundane that we should not honor God in its practice. It reads, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And Colossians 3:17 teaches, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So, if God provides all things to us, are we honoring Him in all things? With every financial decision we make, are we choosing faith-based financial solutions? Does glorifying the Lord enter our minds when we decide where to shop, invest, and even where to keep our checking and savings accounts? We can certainly avoid shopping in stores or ordering online from vendors with ungodly corporate practices and policies. That's easy enough. We can also choose investments that honor God and make the world a better place. That's much easier these days because there are many financial institutions in the faith-based space that can guide us to God-honoring investments that don't sacrifice principles for performance. But what about banking? Actually, that may be the easiest of all. A one-time move to an institution that honors God in all of its policies. If that's been on your mind, you're not alone. Christian Community Credit Union, an underwriter of this program, recently conducted a nationwide survey of 1,300 professed Christians. It found a strong belief that banking should be faith-based, just as much as investing. Over 30% of respondents considered switching banks in the last 12 months. Alignment with Christian values was in the top three reasons why. 60% care deeply about managing their finances biblically to honor God, and over 50% said it's more important than ever that their bank reflects, aligns, and supports their Christian values. Well, CCCU has taken this a step further and completed another survey where over 250 devoted Christians shared their insights and perspectives on stewardship. 90% of the respondents said they think about whether their finances reflect what God wants. Still, more research shows folks have a strong desire to align their bank with their values. They just don't know what options are available. The bottom line is that stewardship is important to most Christians. They take 1 Corinthians 4:2 very seriously, and it reads, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." So here's what I would say to you. If you're looking for a faith-based financial and banking solution that aligns with your beliefs and values, consider Christian Community Credit Union. Plus, each account is insured up to $250,000 by ASI. You can find more at joinchristiancommunity.com. That web address again is joinchristiancommunity.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. You know, folks, as we think about how you can relate and interact with this program here, there's a couple of ways. Beyond even calling, you can always send us an email, askrob@faithfi.com. You can also jump into our community when you visit faithfi.com, post a question, answer somebody else's question, and join a community of faithful stewards. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's a day for just about everything. March has one called the National Day of Unplugging, a time to unplug electronics and connect with people face to face. Well, that's a good thing, but we need it more than once a year. We need this kind of investment every week. And God knows that. He means for us to connect with each other and other believers. Hear this encouragement from Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So this weekend, enjoy fellowship with God's people and encourage someone else in the truth of the gospel. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
Hey, so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the hour each day we set aside to help you think about your financial decisions in light of God's Word, recognizing He's the owner, we're the stewards. Money is a good gift from God as long as it doesn't become a ruling thing in our lives, as long as it sits in its proper place as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, to be enjoyed and to give away, to give freely, not under compulsion, but to give as an overflow of our gratitude to the Lord for His death and resurrection on the cross, for the fact that He is our abundance. You know, we were created for abundance. The question is, where do we find that abundance? We can't find it in the things of this world. We only find that in Christ Himself. He is our true abundance. And when we recognize that, we can be joyful and content no matter the circumstance. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content in times of plenty and in times of need. We seek first the kingdom, then all these things are added
alongside that. So what are you looking for today in your financial life? How can we help you reorient your heart toward God's best for you and then make those practical daily decisions in light of biblical wisdom? That's our goal, at least. And we do that together when you call 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 1-800-525-7000. I've got lines open and you can call right now. All right, we're going to dive in today. We've already got some calls waiting, but room for a few more. Let's go to Virginia to begin. Hi, Sharon. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I am 75. My husband is 76. We are obviously retired, but we're in very good health, very active. And we went to one of the marketplaces for our supplemental insurance. And while there, he recommended that we get this hospital benefit that would pay extra money should we ever be hospitalized. And it sounded really good. But as I got to thinking about it, I'm wondering if it was really timely and wise on my part. It's going to cost us about $100 a month.
Yeah, you know, I would explore that a bit more. I mean, usually supplemental insurance policies that cover things, specific things, are more expensive than just adjusting your existing policies to better meet your needs. So you may not need this coverage. I would say contact your primary insurance carrier and explain this supplemental policy and see if they think you need this additional coverage. And if so, can they add it to your policy and for how much? And let's just see if you can do this in a less expensive way.
Okay. Now, I don't have an insurance person that we go to. This was the first time I just went to a marketing agency, which was recommended to me for our supplemental.
Okay. All right.
So what should I do? Should I find an insurance guy? And
yeah, well, I would start with your primary carrier. So what insurance do you have right now?
We have Medicare and in the supplemental is with, let me think of it. It's a new name, so I've got to think of it. The supplemental is with Sentara.
Okay. All right. And the supplemental is what's costing you the extra $100 a month?
I'm sorry. Would you repeat that?
Yeah, the extra $100 a month is coming from the supplemental policy. Is that right?
No, this is in addition to the supplemental.
Okay, yeah. So
this
that's what I'm saying.
He recommended in addition to the supplemental.
Okay. So I would call the carrier offering the supplemental and see if they can add this additional coverage and explain to you where theirs may fall short, where this additional coverage will step in, and whether that can be added to your supplemental. You know, you have to have a Medicare Advantage plan or Medigap, and you may be able to cover some of these additional, more specific things through that supplemental policy without yet, you know, another policy on top of it.
Okay, I think that this Sentara plan, does it make sense that it canceled our Medicare Advantage plan?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I would start with your supplemental and just see what coverage that provides and whether there are any gaps that would require you to have yet another policy on top of it. So I would begin with your supplemental carrier and make sure you understand exactly what you're getting there, you know, what gaps may exist and whether there's a need for this additional coverage, because you may find that this additional coverage at $100 a month is unnecessary, or there's a way to get the same coverage for less cost. So at least that's where I would begin. And, you know, generally, and if you're in good physical shape, the Medicare Advantage plans are better and it may have adequate coverage. And so I think that's where exploring that a bit more, just to see, you know, if you can get the coverage you need for less cost, is going to make a lot of sense. So I'd do a little bit more digging on this and perhaps see if the Medicare Advantage plan will serve you better, you know, if you're in good physical shape. And certainly touch base with us again, Sharon, if you have further questions as you get into this a bit more. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Eileen. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Just want to let you know, thank you for taking my call. And I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener.
Well, great. I'm so glad you made the call. How can I help you?
Okay. I'm in a thrift savings plan, and it's for the minimum distribution.
Yeah, you broke up just a little bit, Eileen. Hopefully we've got you now. Start that question over, if you don't mind.
Okay. I received my thrift savings plan to notify me of my minimum distribution requirement.
Yes.
And they gave me an estimate of how much I would get. So it was around $8,000 a year. But I was wondering, this $8,000, you know, that's the minimum, but I could request more?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. But they gave me the estimate off of what I have in the thrift savings plan, but it was just the it didn't go into the future of the interest that I might earn, you know, on the monies that I have there.
Right.
So I guess it's like a flat amount that they notified me of that I would get.
Yeah.
And so in the meantime,
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Finish that question.
And I was going to say, in the meantime, I got a letter from them also about 2-3 weeks later, telling me about a lifetime income. I think it's an annuity plan. And it said that with the monies that I have in there, I would get $1,700 a month. And I said, wow, that's a lot, you know. But then when I looked on the back, it said that, on the back of the letter, that it was rated on a 4.2% interest, which is the year constant maturity USA securities, Treasury securities yield. And it said it could fluctuate. It could go up and it could go down. I thought annuity was constant.
Yeah. Well, it's just an illustration that can give you a sense of what, if you converted this to a lifetime income stream, what you can have available. Now, that required minimum is a set amount that's just based on the balance of the account and your life expectancy, which is based on a table that the IRS publishes. So you have to take that out according to the IRS rules. And you can do with it whatever you want. And then secondly, you've got this lifetime income illustration from your thrift savings. Let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a couple more questions and we'll talk about where you go from here.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll visit with a group of pro-life college students using drama to illustrate the grace of God and the sanctity of human life. Then Israel Wayne talks about the path to spiritual revival in the home.
How can we expect our children to have a proper framework or understanding of the world if they are not being rooted in the fear of the Lord?
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. I've got lines open. Perhaps you have questions. Well, that works because we're ready to answer them at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Eileen in Florida. She was explaining that she's been presented with a couple of options on her Thrift Savings Plan, TSP, which is kind of the government equivalent of a 401k. And you've got a couple of options here, Eileen. The first is what you mentioned, which is a required minimum distribution. And basically, that's calculated for each account, including a thrift savings, because it's a pre-tax retirement savings vehicle, by dividing the prior December 31 balance of that thrift savings by a life expectancy factor that the IRS publishes in tables on their website. You can see it. And it tells you how much, at a minimum, you have to take out per year, and you can certainly take out more than that. Now, what you were presented with was basically an option. See, the RMD is required, but you have options on how you get that money out of the TSP to supplement your retirement income once you separate from employment. So you could roll it out to an IRA and then have it invested by an advisor, which is what I generally recommend. And then normally what we'd do is we'd say, just as a starting point, you'd take the balance on the thrift savings or what's now in the IRA, you'd pull out ideally no more than 4% a year. So I think you have about $237,000 in your thrift savings. And so that would be $9,480 a year, give or take. And so we're talking about $800 a month. And the idea would be that through proper management of that money in an IRA, not too aggressive, still fairly conservative, you would, you know, be able to maintain the principal balance and pull out that $800 a month or $9,500 a year and live off of that, use it to supplement other income sources that you have. And you'd never deplete the funds so that you could either tap into them down the road if you needed bigger chunks of money for, let's say, long-term care, or you could eventually give it away to charity, you know, during your life or at your death, or leave it as an inheritance. So that's one option that has the most flexibility because you keep full access to the money. The other option, or another option, is what's called a life annuity. And it's, you know, basically where you would take a distribution of the thrift savings in the form of a lifetime stream of income. You would purchase that life annuity. So it's no longer managed by you. And by purchasing that annuity from an annuity provider, you give up your money and the control of it in exchange for guaranteed lifetime monthly payments. And the amount of that payment would be determined by you and or your joint annuitants, if applicable. So in most cases, if you're married, you'd say, I want payments for not only my life, but my life and my spouse's life. So it would go until both of you die. And it would be determined, the amount of income you get, determined by your age and your joint annuitant's age at the time you buy it, the amount you use to purchase the annuity, so what you have in the thrift savings, and then the types of annuity, the type of annuity you get, and the options and features you select, and then the interest rate that they're offering at the time of the purchase. And they'll factor all of that in and then tell you how much per month you'll get for the rest of your life or your life plus your joint annuitants. But you lose control of the money, and once you both pass away, it's gone. And so obviously you're going to get more per month with that option, but you don't have the money to access. You won't have anything left at the end of your life as you would in option one. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I made 72 years old last year, and so that's why they sent me this for the minimum distribution, right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that the age was going to go up, you know, to 73 or something, but I guess I don't fall in that age group.
Yeah, it did go up to 73. You know, it depends on when you're born. So if you were born were you born before December 31st, 1950?
No.
After.
No, I was born in 1951.
51. Okay, so you should be an RMD of 73. So I would check with your CPA on that, because if you were born between 51 and 59, you're going to be RMD of 73, and you would take your first distribution in April 1st of the year following the year you turn 73. So I would just double check that with your CPA. But at this point, I think you've got to decide, you know, first of all, when is that appropriate time for me to take that RMD? And then secondly, how do I want to handle this thrift savings? Are you going to need it for income immediately?
No.
Okay. So how are you covering your bills at this point?
Well, I receive a pension from the government.
Okay, so you've got your pension, and the thrift savings is on top of that, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so at this point, the pension is enough to cover your bills, and so you really don't need the thrift savings. So for me, and again, this is your decision, and maybe you need to do some more extensive planning with an advisor, because we only have just a couple of minutes together here. But for me, if at a high level, if you don't need this money because you've ordered your life and your lifestyle such that your pension is enough, then I wouldn't necessarily be rushing to convert it to an income stream, because you don't need the income. And again, you're giving up control over it and access to the money in exchange for that lifetime payout. I'd rather see you invest this in a way that is consistent with your goals and objectives and risk tolerance, keep access to the money if you need it for long-term care or whatever, and then have something left at the end of your life that you could give away or leave as an inheritance, something like that. But if you want an advisor to help you think through all of this, Eileen, I'd head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, you can click Find a Professional, and you could look for a certified Kingdom advisor there in your area. I'd interview two or three and then find the one that's the best fit. And one of those folks could actually manage this for you if you decided to roll it out to an IRA. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. All right, a quick break and back with your questions. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Call right now. Marie coming your way just after the break. Stick around. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Are you being honest and dependable in your personal money matters? Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work.
Tune in to Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own health care, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity, and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful you're joining us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. You know, all the programming here at AFR is about conducting and ordering your life through the lens of Scripture, through a biblical worldview, and that certainly includes our money management. That's our goal here on this program, is to help you do that and be that wise and faithful steward. We've each been entrusted with a certain amount, some more than others, and we're asked to be found faithful with what God has given us during this season. It's going to change over time. You may be in a time of plenty. You may be in a time of real struggle right now. And we just want to be there to walk alongside you no matter where you find yourself, to be a source of encouragement. If you have a financial question today, call us with that question right now. We'll try to help you make a wise decision at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, let me mention, you know, I don't have to tell you this. You're experiencing it every day. Things just cost more now. I mean, we're experiencing this across the board, which means that it's more difficult than ever to stay on budget, to live within our means, which, by the way, is the key to every financial success. Once we recognize God owns it all and we're stewards, we've got to commit to live within God's provision. And one of the best ways to do that is to have a plan. You've got to have a plan. You've got to give every dollar a job and make it specific. And then if you stick that plan in the drawer and don't look at it again, well, it does you no good. You've got to have a system to control the flow of money in and out so you can stay on plan. So if you're married, you and your spouse, or if you're single, so you every month or during the month can say, where am I? You know, what's going on in my financial life? How's that eating out envelope looking? What about the clothing envelope? Oh yeah, I've got that car repair envelope over there. You know, do I have anything in there? Because I'm probably going to need to use it in the next couple of months. I mean, that's the way we stay on plan. And that's why we built with a team of developers over many years. That's why we built the FaithFi app, is to help you do just that. So if you'd like to set up your plan, connect your accounts, have a simple way to manage God's money using the digital envelope system alongside all the other encouragement content and community and all the features there for stewards like you, I would encourage you to download the FaithFi app today. You'll find it on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app or search for FaithFi in your app store. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. Looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to New York. Hi, Marie. Thank you so much for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. I just heard your program last night. Praise God. I'm so glad because
wow.
I I was like, wow, maybe I can ask a question. It's kind of hard because when you're living on a wing and a prayer, you know, I'm 73 and I'm by myself with my dog, and I'm like, wow, it's kind of hard to try to get some help here. I did go to a lawyer in 2019 and had a will made out. My one daughter, I have my house in her name.
Okay.
But I actually thought of that. I've got like two totally important things to ask, and I was only supposed to ask one, but I thought of it when I was sitting here listening to the folks, and I went, oh, dear God, I hope he doesn't mind. But one thing is I make about 20, what, little ways under 28,000 on my Social Security, which seems like an awful lot to me, but somehow it doesn't stretch really good.
I understand.
I don't have... I have no savings, and foolish me, I never got any kind of life insurance, and I have diabetes and heart surgery 2 years ago, and so I couldn't get any kind of hole, even for a minimal amount to pay for my burial, let alone my kids. But at any rate, I know that there's these policies that have a two-year waiting period, and I told my daughter I maybe could get one of them, but I don't know. God only knows if I got 2 years. You know, I don't want them to do something to my house, which is in my Julie's name, my daughter. And the lawyer had suggested at the time that I put the house, sign it to her and have life use. And I was going to ensure that the government or something didn't take it if I fell ill. But, yeah, I know how some people tend to have problems when they do certain things, you know, if they sell you a used car or whatever else. So I thought, my sure. daughter's wonderful, but if we put it in her name and we have some little out or something, oh, Lord, I don't want to have to worry about that. I mean, we're good pretty much. But at any sure. rate, those are the two connecting things, the insurance that I don't have and if there's even any option. And what can I do if I should fall ill? I mean, I don't even know. It is in her name, and I do have the will, but I don't know that that insures me of somebody taking the house if, God forbid, I should fall ill.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call and so that background very much. I'm delighted we were able to speak today, Marie. As to the first question, you know, I generally don't recommend that you get life insurance in your situation simply because, you know, the purpose of life insurance is to replace income if a family breadwinner should die. And that's going to place a hardship, the loss of that income, on the other dependents or a spouse. But your child, your daughter is grown and on her own. And so this is not an expense that I would be looking to take on in this season of life, especially because given your age and health status, it's going to be very costly. You know, now you could get a guaranteed issue, very small policy just for burial if you feel like you need that. But as to, you know, getting something more than that, that would provide some sort of inheritance for her, I don't think that's cost effective. It's just going to eat up so much of your living expenses. And, you know, I think the most important thing right now that you can do for her is just, you know, provide for yourself. And so you're not, you know, having to ask her to provide for you. And if she needs to at some point, obviously that's the way God designed the nuclear family. But, you know, the extent to which you don't have to, I think keeping your expenses as low as possible, you know, would be a great thing. But there are, like I say, guaranteed issued or simplified insurance policies specifically for burial, and you wouldn't need more than, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 at the most. You know, average burial is about 10. So, you know, I think that would be one option. As to, you know, your plan for Medicaid and, you know, protecting assets and so forth, you know, that's really a legal matter. I would trust your attorney on that to guide you through the decisions you need to make there and just understand the implications of, you know, what the spend down provisions are and, you know, how a home plays into that and so forth. And, you know, there are a number of issues to look at there, not only Medicaid, but, you know, also looking at the option of the cost basis on that with regard to the inheritance. There are implications of putting it in her name versus keeping it in yours and then passing it on at your death. But, you know, I would connect back with your attorney if you have other questions on that as to how that's all going to work if and when that time comes. In terms of just helping you think, going back to the insurance for a second, then I'll get your thoughts about what this might cost. You know, a typical guaranteed issue or simplified insurance policy for burial, you know, for a $10,000 benefit, it's going to run you about $50 or so a month. So it's not an exorbitant amount, but I wouldn't try to go beyond that in terms of, you know, the coverage that you're going to get, just given the season of life you're in and your health status. Does all that make sense, though?
A little bit. I know I don't need a lot. I called my local, I live in a little village here in the Finger Lakes, and I called my fellow that has a funeral home here, and he had said if I got cremated, I wouldn't need much more than $3,500, and
okay.
So that's what I was looking for. But the
that sounds great. Unfortunately, I've got to take a break here. Stay on the line, Marie. You and I can talk a little bit more off the air, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. More of your questions just around the corner. Stick around.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Scudder, and we're so excited because In Grace, as we've been broadcasting for a long time in the evenings here on American Family Radio, will now be heard at 11:30 in the morning Central Time. We would love for you to listen. If you haven't heard us before, tune in for some Bible teaching and some adventure right here on this American Family Radio station.
Imagine walking in the footsteps of Jesus, witnessing his miracles and learning from his teaching. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress takes us to the land of Israel where Jesus and his disciples walked. Together, we'll visit five key sites where history was forever changed. Join us for the series Live from Israel, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, in this segment, we have the privilege of talking to our good friend Jerry Boyer. He serves as our resident economist here on the program. He joins us each Friday as we check in on the markets. And Jerry, it seems like today is all about jobs. Tell us about the latest report here.
It is. Now, did Marie get all her questions answered? Or I mean,
she
I can,
did.
I
yeah,
wait.
We got to chat good. Off the air, and we got her all set.
All right, wonderful.
I appreciate you looking out for Marie, though.
Well, she's terrific, and Marie's and all the others listening and calling who are getting their financial house together are, right. to me, the key to our nation's future. So it's not just their own personal finances. As things get rough, Christians need to have our financial act together. The Fed doesn't, of course, and so that's why we saw today, you know, we had the jobs report, which was just about an hour ago, and it was better than expected. Now, you know, it's not when you look at the details, it's not as great as the headline. I mean, the Wall Street Journal headline was about how many jobs were created. And then in the subhead is, yeah, but the unemployment rate went up. And people get really confused by that. How can you have jobs created and the unemployment rate went up? It doesn't seem like both of those things can happen at the same time. Well, they're based on different surveys. There's an establishment survey which calls businesses and says, are you adding jobs or taking jobs away? And they tell how many net jobs they've added. And then there's the household survey which calls homes and says, are you looking for work? Are you employed? Yes. Okay, great. Are you not employed? No, I don't have a job. Are you looking for a job? Yes, I'm looking for a job. Okay, you're unemployed. No, I'm not looking for a job. I've given up. Oh, okay. Well, you're not unemployed anymore. You're out of the labor force. You don't count. So all of those different surveys and all of those different questions give us this really mixed picture. But the way the markets reacted to basically good jobs numbers is, oh, okay, well, the economy might be heating up too much. That causes inflation, they think. So the Fed's probably going to have to pull money out of the system. So gold sold off and markets sold off. Not terribly, but they sold off, you know, after that jobs report. Now, yesterday was all about the Fed saying, oh, we're probably going to cut rates. We're going to put money into the system. So that was, you know, earlier in the week, that was good, you know, for markets. And we're back to this really weird thing. You know, I like to quote James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yeah.
We have the most important financial institution in the world right now is the United States Central Bank, the Fed, and it's double-minded. And from day to day, it flips back and forth between two conflicting of its double mandates. One is pump money into the system to get growth going, and the other is pump money out of the system to stop inflation and to slow down growth. And since it doesn't have a consistent, you know, say, gold-backed or silver-backed or, you know, some kind of control of the currency where it's backed by something and cannot be debased. We don't have a gold standard. We don't have a silver standard. We have a PhD standard. PhD economists, they're trying to decide at any given day how their models are affected and whether they need to be pumping money into the system or pumping money out of the system. And today we're seeing that effect again. So there we are.
Yeah, there we are. That's a great summary. Jerry, of course, the State of the Union last night, there's a lot we could talk about there, but let's just stay on the economics for a second. You know, if you listen to President Biden, it sounds like, well, I mean, he's creating record jobs. We've got a wonderful economy. We're manufacturing's through the roof. We're bringing all these jobs back to America. You know, and yet the reality seems to be something different. How would you evaluate this president economically, especially in light of what he described last night?
Yeah, well, they have a habit of kind of torturing the data in order to get a good economic picture. And when he came in, I saw walking behind him Jared Bernstein, his chief economist, who I used to debate frequently on CNBC. And he did that then. I'm not finding them honest in their dealings with the data. Now, I'm trying to be a political atheist about this. If the economy was great, you know, I didn't vote for Joe Biden. I'm just going to tell you that. But if the economy was great, I would say so. But it isn't. The economy isn't great. So he comes along and says, well, you know, inflation went from 9% down to 3%. Well, it went from it's higher than 3%. But it was 9%, you know, and that was partly because of his policies. It went up to 9% when he was president. So it's a little bit like coming in and saying, well, you know, I came in and I did some things and I burned the house down, but we built a shed. So look at the shed we built. I mean, on balance, the dollar, our purchasing power since Joe Biden has become president is about a fifth lower than it was before. So if you don't do all this, well, something got really bad, but then it got better. So I'm just going to talk about the getting better thing rather than just saying when he became president, where were things?
Yeah.
Well, we're 20% poorer in terms of our purchasing capacity. And that's just the data. And I would love to give credit where credit is due, but not much credit is due. And yes, we did do a lot of job creation, but we came out of a shutdown. We came out of a COVID shutdown, a COVID coma. So, of course, there's going to be job creation after that. But we haven't caught up to normal yet. We still don't have normal labor market participation. Yes, unemployment is historically low, but it's historically low because demographically we have a job shortage. People are not looking because they've left the workforce. So those, you know, that's torturing the numbers to create an impression that's not really bad. Now, some conservatives will act like it's the worst economy in the world and it's all, you know, we're in a depression. No, we're not. We're in a stuttering economy like we were in the 70s, which can happen under Republicans and Democrats. Nixon did it to us in the 70s. So it's not just a Republican-Democrat thing, but right now it's Biden and it's stagflation.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. Well, that's really helpful, Jerry, because I think that kind of cuts through the talking points and gets into the data, which obviously, as you remind us often, data is a gift and we can look to the data and understand what's really going on, right?
Yes, we can. It is a gift that we just have to open it. open it all and look at all of it. Don't just open up part of the box and say, oh, here's what I wanted. And that happens with politics, you know, all the time. But, you know, I was disappointed by that part of the State of the Union speech. But that's what I've seen from his chief economist, who's an old nemesis of mine. Basically, it's agitprop, not real economic analysis. And that's really a shame, because I'd want my presidents to be honest with me. And I'm not saying everything was great under Trump. You know, the trade war, you know, trade wars are easy. No, they aren't. You know, he made some economically bad moves and some economically good moves. And I tried to call him as honestly as I could. But with Biden, it's mostly been economically bad moves.
Yeah. Jerry, quickly, before we let you go, I know we had the big shareholder meeting with Apple, and AFA was right there on the agenda. Where do we go here from here? What are you all working on next?
Banks. And yesterday there were congressional hearings on debanking. Jeremy Tedesco was there from Alliance Defending Freedom, which has partnered with Boyer Research and AFA. They've provided the legal muscle to help get these proposals, when they're challenged, to keep them on the ballot. So Bank of New York Mellon, Citigroup, big banks, important banks that AFA is going to be engaging with. It's already confirmed that AFA's proposals are going to be on the ballot. So, you know, they're going to have their say. And it is all about the idea that it just cannot be the case in America where a bank, based on government pressure or pressure from interest groups, can look at, say, a ministry or a conservative group and say, you're risky just because someone's going to complain about you. Therefore, we're going to shut down your bank account. You can't function without a bank account in America. And AFA is fighting. They've had to fight this themselves personally. They've been the victim of it with a payment service, which Walker talked about on my podcast recently. And they're also defending all the other ministries out there, the Sam Brownbacks and all the rest of them, who can get debanked simply because their politics are not in keeping with the current trends and fads. So debanking is the hot one, and we're going to be communicating with those banks. If there's congressional hearings on something, it's a risk. That's the basic argument. There were congressional hearings yesterday. It's risky. You need to look at this risk and take it seriously. That's the AFA message that Boyer Research will help deliver.
Excellent. Well, Jerry, thanks for that update. I know you'll keep us continually updated along the way. But listen, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Same to you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. He's president of Boyer Research. He also joins us each Friday on this broadcast with his market commentary. We always look forward to it. All right. Let's head back to the phones. We'll get to as many questions as we can here in our remaining moments. To Illinois. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have three separate retirement accounts. The first one is Tia Craft, and it has a rate of return of 12.32%. Then I have my thrift savings plan that's 100% in a G fund, which is only 4.22%. And then I work for an insurance company in Illinois, and with them, the rate of return is at 10.04%. And with them, the annual is like 18.6. And what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to consolidate possibly. Is that possible?
And potentially. Then number two, yeah, go ahead with number two.
Number two, I would like to withdraw at least $5,000. I know there may be a penalty for that. Yeah. And because I need to pay some debt.
Okay. All right.
And yeah. Okay.
Very good. So normally you can consolidate as long as they're all pre-tax. So that's the key. Did the money go in pre-tax? So either through salary deferral or in some other way that caused a deduction on the front end. If that's the case, they can generally be combined in an IRA, an individual retirement account. So that's number one. Not always. Somebody would have to look at that. And then number two, you'd want somebody who can analyze the investments that you have. Sounds like you have some good ones. And then decide where you need changes. I think the best thing for you, Aaron, is going to be an advisor who can look over all of this, advise you on it, analyze what you currently have. And then if there's investment management needed moving forward, could provide that as well in replacement of some of these things if you decided to make a change. The best way to find that is just to head to our website, faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. That's faithfi.com. And you can find some certified Kingdom advisors there in Illinois. I apologize, I'm out of time today, but hopefully that gets you pointed in the right direction. Thanks for your call. Montano, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Let's see if we can get you on a future broadcast. So grateful to have you with us today. I'm thankful for my team today. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Robert Youngblood, our producer, Devin Patrick, and providing great research today, Mr. Jim Henry. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.